And if our knee is, and if our knee isn't bowed this morning, this is our opportunity. But we do know that that's going to happen, and it's a tremendous statement when you consider all the influences that are going on in the world today. Glad to have Brother Virgil with us this morning. He's going to bring the message today. They've spent a few months here in and out, not here all the time, but so I'm glad he's works for him to share with us this morning. So we want to look forward to that. Also, I'd like to put in a plug for Oklahoma. Chester Weaver is having meetings in Fairland this weekend. And if it wasn't so much effort, I'd sure love to be there, but we can listen otherwise too. But he's a tremendous historian, school teacher for a lot of years, and he's having meetings there this evening. I think their service starts at 6:30. And if there's, I think Brother Steve is going to take a raised hand at the end of the service. If there's enough that want to go over that direction and cancel service this evening, we can do that. But I know that it's a long ways over, and it's great to drive over. Then you have to drive all the way back. So it's a little, but it's definitely worthwhile. And there may be recordings available. I'm not sure, but there is others available as well. So definitely would consider that to be worthwhile. All right, this morning I'd like to turn to a very familiar chapter, but it's a story that, like many pieces of good literature, it has many, many layers. And we can have a children's lesson with one layer. We can have, we can see many other things here as well. John chapter 9, the story of the blind man that was healed. I know this story is familiar to us, so let's just talk about it a little bit. Who are the characters in this story? Anybody? The main character, one of them is the blind man. We're going to talk about him, so I'll say him. Who's another character in this story? Jesus. And another. Or group. His parents. So we got the blind man, Jesus, his parents, and who else?
Neighbors.
Disciples.
Pharisees.
I think we got them all, don't we? Is there anything else? Now, these all had an opinion, but let's see what was right. I'd like to just read this. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, here it says that there was a man that was blind from his birth, and we understand that this meant that he couldn't see physically. But who else was a little blind in this situation? We can see that the disciples were a little blind as well, weren't they? Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It seems like if they would have thought just a little bit, we know that we are born with a sinful nature, but is it actually possible to sin in utero? You know, I would think that they were a little blind. And maybe they received some sight too in the end there, but there's other people that were blind in this passage that Jesus came to fix their blindness as well. And the interesting thing is that Jesus came to give sight to the blind in more ways than just the physical. Verse 6, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, when they which had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Now, it's really interesting that Jesus used something physical. He spit on the ground, made a moisture of clay, put it on his eyes, and told him to go wash it off, and he did. Now, I don't know. The blind man was probably used to doing what other people told him to do. And that stood him in good stead this time, didn't it? He did. He washed, and he came seeing. And for most things, that most of the time when people lose their sensibilities of some kind, there's a time of rehabilitation that people need to interpret what they see. And blind man can do almost anything except drive a vehicle, and he wasn't driving anything. But it's amazing how other senses fill in to compensate for the one that is lost. And I remember a number of years ago we were listening to a blind man speak at a teacher's institute, and he told us how that he arranges his meal when he's at a banquet, and they have goblets. That's not a good thing for him, he said, but they get everything arranged, and he can eat. He can pick out his food. He can do a lot of things. He said there's mechanics that are completely blind that are able to do everything with their fingers. I have a few tools that I bought from a man that was from a carpenter that was blind. When he died, they sold his tools, and he was both a carpenter and a gunsmith, and he would take guns apart and fix them, and they would take he was able to cut and build things out of wood, being totally blind. The one thing that a person that has been sighted and turned blind, when they can see again, if they can see again, they don't need any rehabilitation. But someone that has just seen for the first time may not be able to interpret the things that he sees. It's definitely that way with hearing. You have to be able to interpret. But this man obviously had no issues, and it was that way whenever Jesus healed. And that's so interesting, because whenever Jesus healing was on somebody, whether he was lame, think about the man that was healed at the temple gate. He leaped and walked. The person that was deaf, he could hear and understand. One time when someone was healed that was blind, he said he sees dimly, and then Jesus touched his eyes again, or there was a second work anyhow that he could see clearly. But Jesus' healing was complete for this blind man, and he could see and understand, but he was still a little bit blind in his understanding. And just in the sense that he knew what happened to him, but he didn't know who the Lord was. And we read here further. Oh, we're here by this question where where he said, I am the one that said, even though people didn't understand that they had a question of what his identity was. In verse 13, it says, they brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. It's very interesting to me to see this discussion unfolding. Here was something, a tremendous work done. And there's some individuals there that said, this can't be of God because he didn't keep the Sabbath day. And if you understand a little bit the Pharisees' work, is that their intent was to keep the law of God perfectly. And whenever a thought would come or something would happen, they would become more and more restrictive. And there was plenty of things already in the law about the keeping the seventh day holy, but they added to it many, many times. One writer said that there were 600 separate laws concerning the Sabbath day, what they could do. And in some cases, it was even so much as they couldn't carry anything extra, not even as much as a needle to be belabored. But in doing all that, they overlooked the main part, and that's why that's one of the things that brought blindness to them, is because their focus was not where their focus should have been. And so when Jesus did this wonderful work to this man, instead of praising God for it, they said, it can't be of God because of this, because he didn't keep the Sabbath day according to their idea. And so their focus was narrowed down because of where their scope was. But we know that was a wrong way to look at it. Well, the story ends is that he was cast out of the synagogue because he confessed that Christ was Lord. And he could see, but he was punished by people that were blind. And I think it's a story of victory. It's a story of that in spite of the fact of how his outward circumstances changed, his inward circumstances were much improved. And I think it's something that gives us courage that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's where our focus needs to be now and continued. Give glory to God. Let's bow for prayer.